You ready, kids, to pay attention? We got some good prizes for you. You need to pay attention, listen up, and sit there well-behaved and good, like I know you know how to do. Take good notes, and we'll bless you after. And again, a quick reminder, the giving receipts are in the front. If you gave in 2019, again, I can't thank people enough. We're going into some great things, praise God, but we need your support. And we need your faithfulness. And so thank you. But if you have your Bibles, you can go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 in verse, let's go right to verse 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. And we're going to pray. We'll do a little bit of review. And we'll go into what the Holy Ghost has for us tonight. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful to be here, gathered together with Jesus, with the Holy Ghost. Father, with each other to hear your word. And Father, it's your word that changes our lives. It's the truth of the word of God that sets us free. So Father, we thank you for freedom tonight. We thank you for increase tonight. Wherever the word goes, wherever it can be planted in somebody's heart, increase follows. And so Father, may I speak the word with boldness. May I speak the word with utterance. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you that I will speak as the oracles of God tonight. And Father, I thank you that we'll hit bullseyes. The message will be preached with boldness and with utterance. And Father, we'll walk out of here changed. We'll walk out of here blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let me go ahead and read down through here real quick. And then we will go ahead. Actually, go to verse 4 for time's sake. And we'll just, again, review what we're going into, what we're talking about. It says, "And being assembled together with them," talking about Jesus, "He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence or from now." In verse 8, he says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you," or after you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, what he was talking about in those verses before. "And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Well, then we know in Acts chapter 2, this happened, right? They waited, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost came, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And so we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? Amen. That's what we started 2 weeks ago. My goodness, it seems like it's been so long. And we talked that first week, how we all come from different places, we all come from different backgrounds. We've all been influenced by different people, different ministries, different ministers. And we just made a declaration that night. Who gives a flutie-tootie? You like when I say that, don't you? Who gives a rip about what we've been taught, what we think, what someone that we trust has told us, if it's not the Bible? Amen? I'm not saying throw everything out that people have told you, but I'm saying we want to go with the Word, right? We don't want to go with our traditions. We don't want to go with comfort. We don't want to go with what's normal to us, what we're used to. We want to go with the Bible. And we saw in the Word that there are things and there are topics that will make our flesh uncomfortable, that Jesus preached things that blew people's minds, that they couldn't receive it, they couldn't accept it. It went against what they thought, it went against their beliefs, it went against their norm, and they left him, didn't they? And because they weren't willing to throw away those things like comfort, traditions, what they thought, what they knew, they missed out on some great things, didn't they? They missed out on following Jesus. They missed out on all that was to come by being with him. And so we want to make sure, I said, just stick with me till the end of this series. You'll see that this topic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not the crazy charismatic Pentecostal Pastor Mike Anderson that's trying to come in and get us swinging from the chandeliers and bring chaos and disorder. No, I'm trying to bring blessing from God's Word. And when things are put in context of the Word, it brings peace. It brings blessing. God is not the author of confusion. Man is the author of confusion. But thankfully, this topic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not something that is just a few snippets in the Bible, and then again you get certain sects of Christianity that they call the Pentecostals or the Charismatics. They grab onto this doctrine and they take hold of it and they build a tabernacle there, you know, and get on a soapbox. No, thankfully, it's all throughout the Word of God. It's a topic and subject that God doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning. And I know this, if you'll stick with me, and you'll let this get into you, and you'll be a doer of what Jesus tells you to do, your life will change. Now, I contemplated having this as a one-night class, which usually takes between 2 and 3 hours, and we don't get to get it in as depth on that night as we do, and people don't retain it as well, to be honest with you, after 2 or 3 hours. And I contemplated that, but I sought God on what to do, and he said, no. It was clear in my heart we were to have a series on this. And so for those of you that think to themselves, well, I'm wasting my time. I know this. I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost for years. The reason I contemplated having the 2 to 3 hour course was for that reason, for people that maybe would be more geared towards people that have never heard this, never been around it. But the Holy Ghost said no. And the main reason was, by hearing this and getting your faith stirred up, it's going to rejuvenate you in this area. Because this area, what we see going forward, if people would absolutely give themselves to what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is, what God has meant for you to have from this gift, it will change your world. But so many people don't give themselves to it. People that are aware of this. It was a one-time experience. It was something that maybe every once in a while you reevaluate and you come back to. But no, it's meant to be a lifestyle. And it will change you. And so this will stir you up. And it'll help you. Also, it'll teach you as well. So we can get other people filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And so we're going on. And we saw that first week that Jesus said it. There's this thing called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We really didn't even teach much on it that first night. We just had to lay the groundwork that, hey, don't run for the hills quite yet, right? I know most of you won't do that, or all of you won't run for the hills. You've trusted me enough this far to know that, hey, we're not trying to have any agenda here but God's Word. And so it'll be the same for this subject. And even, you know, people come into this with so many ideas, so many funny thoughts about it. And I remember when I got taught about this, my first inclination was, you're nuts. My second inclination was, after I heard the word, was, where's this been my whole life? I've been in churches with people that are standing behind pulpits and opening the Bible, and they never told me anything about this, or people teach against it. So we're going to look at all things baptism of the Holy Ghost related in this series. We're going to flip it upside down, turn it upside down, ring it in and out, and inside and out, and find out all the ins and outs of it. We're going to find out, what does the Bible say about it? What does it have to do with this tongues business? What do people say why tongues isn't for today? What are the scriptures that they use and take out of context? We're going to look at how to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because this is a gift for you. Praise God. We're going to look at it all. So the thing I want to go to tonight that seemed good in my spirit is this baptism of the Holy Spirit. One of the main arguments that people say and fight against is they say, I received all the Holy Ghost I'll ever need at the time I got born again. And a lot of people state that, and they get downright mad. I mean, it's fighting words. Now, let me just, first of all, make a blanket statement. If you don't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you receive Jesus, you still go to heaven. You say, why are you saying it like that? Because I have been accused publicly from people that Pastor Mike preaches, that if you don't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't go to heaven. Never said that, never would, because it's not biblical. Amen? But the thing that people really get mad and emphasize is, how dare you say that at the time of my new birth, I didn't get everything that I would need. But I'm here to tell you, I'm going to show you in the Word tonight, at the day of your new birth, you didn't get everything that you need. That in fact, the Bible clearly shows us that this thing called the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a separate experience apart from salvation. It's not, you'll see tonight, it is so clear in the Word that it is separate apart from salvation. So the reason you need to know that, for those of you that are not filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized, when we say filled or baptized with the Holy Ghost, they're interchangeable things. Remember, Jesus said, John baptized with water, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts chapter 2, it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So those words, filled and baptized, they're the same thing. And so for those of you that have never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, if you're not convinced of this, you'll think, well, I don't need it. I already got all the Holy Ghost I need at salvation. No, you didn't. Can you get them the same time? You can, but you have to do that by faith, right? It doesn't just fall on your lap, just the way salvation did. So let's look tonight at the Word of God, that they're two separate experiences. And also, for those of you that are helping other people, that's you'll have ammunition now, amen? We ought not to be ignorant concerning the things of God. When people question us, and what about this baptism of the Holy Ghost? We ought to be able to show them. And so this will help us. So Acts chapter 1, we looked at this already, but I want to bring something out here. Now, Jesus, it said in verse 4, he assembled together with them. Now, I mentioned this a little bit 2 weeks ago. It's important that you know one of the main things with Bible interpretation. There's rules to Bible interpretation that keep you safe from cults, that keep you safe from misinterpreting the Bible. And one of the main rules to Bible interpretation is, who's the audience to find something out? Well, them is the audience. But we need to know, who's them? Well, this was after Jesus had died and rose again. Now, what does the Bible say? How is a man saved, a woman saved? Well, Romans 10 and verse 9 tells us, for if you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So what's the recipe for salvation? Confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. What? That Jesus is Lord, but that he also rose from the dead. The only way you can get saved, the only people on planet Earth that were ever saved, was post-Jesus dying on the cross. Most of the people that we see in the New Testament, and all the people in the Old Testament, they never received salvation. They weren't saved. Now, do they still get to go to heaven? Yes, but they don't get what we got, praise God. And so, to be saved, it has to be a belief, a confession in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Well, he's appearing to them after he's died on the cross. This is after he's died on the cross, gone to hell, and presented his blood. He's back on the earth now for a short time, right? And so he's here, and so them, who are we talking about? Well, we're talking about followers of him, but now we're talking about a different category of people following him. All the people that were in his ministry pre-cross were not saved. They were just like Old Testament people. But now he's died and rose again. Now they must get saved. How do we know they must get saved? Well, remember what Paul said about the Romans. He said, or about Israel. He said in the book of Romans, he said, my prayer for Israel or the Jews is that they would get saved, for they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They didn't believe in Jesus dying on the cross. And so he's saying, for Jews to be saved, they must believe in Jesus dying on the cross and raising again. Well, you look at the people, the disciples that followed him, and they needed to also convert. Amen. And be changed over into being born again. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. After Jesus died on the cross. And so these new group of people that have never been in the category before of anybody, they're saved Christians. They're born again believers. Amen. Pastor Mike got born again on January 10th, 2002. I received Jesus that day. Just like whatever day after Jesus died and rose again, they confessed, they believed. They had it easier than us, didn't they? I mean, they saw him. He was right there with them. But they believed in him. You're my Lord. We believe that you died and rose again. Well, by biblical definition, they're saved. But look at what Jesus says to the saved people. You know, their experience of being saved was no different than mine than in the hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. It was no different than your salvation experience, which is what? You believed in Jesus. What happens if you believe in Jesus? The Holy Ghost comes on in. You're born again. Your spirit's made brand new. All your sins are washed away. The same experience happened to you as happened to them. But look at what Jesus tells those born-again believers. He commands them, hey, you Christians. Hey, you who do have a new spirit, you're born again. Hey, there's something more you need. Do you see it there clear as day? He didn't just suggest it. He didn't just think, well, it might be a good idea. Well, you know, for that crazy group of Christians over here and the radical side of Christianity, it's for them. No. He said to people that were born again, Christians, great that you're saved, but salvation is for up there. What I'm going to give you is going to be for down here. How do we know? Because he said in verse 8, once you receive this, you'll receive power. Amen. See, if you don't recognize this, I don't know everybody here that's been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized with the Holy Ghost. I don't know everybody that's or listening online. But if you don't recognize this as Jesus, and you only look at it as Jesus is talking to them and not talking to you, you're going to miss the whole boat. And then you're going to think, well, that's optional for me. Because I've heard you talk about that tongues business, Pastor Mike. Well, that tongues business will be so much clearer and make sense to you and will land on your heart so much softer than it ever has before when this series is, by the time this series is over. Because again, God doesn't confuse people. People confuse people. But if you don't recognize that when he commanded the believers to not leave without it, if you don't also recognize that as a charge to yourself, you will then go out in disobedience without the power that he gave you to live on this earth. Who's it for? Believers. Why? These believers did not receive everything. Jesus said, there's something more you got to get. Well, if that was the only place in the Bible that said that, you could make the argument, well, Jesus is just talking to those first disciples, those first ones that are just with him, which, by the way, the ones that received him far out surpassed 12. It was 120. So the people that received that baptism that he commanded not to depart were ones that we don't even hear about in the Bible. Because people are always quick to say, well, that was for the apostles. But there was way more than the apostles in the upper room that day. And we see now throughout the Bible is what we're going to look at now, that it was for way more than just those original disciples. You know who it was for? Anybody that's born again. Amen? And if you're born again here tonight, you know what Jesus is saying to you? I command you, don't go forth without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know why he commands it? He just thought to himself, I'm the Savior of the world. I'm Lord of their lives. I think they would listen to me. I'm going to command it because I need them to have this. They don't know what they're missing without it. So he just thought, if I command it, surely they'll do it. Unfortunately, people don't. But when he commands something, I take him seriously, praise God. So go with me to John chapter 14. That's one place that shows that salvation and the baptism are different. They're separate experiences. Go to John 14 and verse 13. Tonight might be a little bit teachy, but that's okay. We need to be taught sometimes. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, what? Preaching and teaching. They're different, praise God. There's different flows. Now, I'm not normally much of a teacher. But I know that the flow tonight and the anointing for tonight will be more of a teachy flow. But that's just as much Bible as the preachy flow. Because Jesus taught and preached, praise God. Hallelujah. Where did I say to go? John 14 and verse 13. John 14 and verse 13. Hallelujah. That is not where I wanted to go. What in the world? What am I doing here? Why did I have? I don't even know why I had that one down. Praise God. Go with me to John chapter 7. Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. Aren't you glad for the word of God tonight? Hallelujah. He's so faithful, isn't he? I can't find this. I have no idea where to go. Say, you're my pastor? I know. Pray for me. Where is it where he says, I don't know why it's not in here in my notes the right way, where he says, someone help me out here, all you Bible people out there, where he talks about springing up to wells. Here it is, right here. John 7 and verse 37. John 7 and verse 37. So you don't know everything, Pastor Mike? I'm sorry you just found that out. Oh my gosh, we ruined the whole thing. Here you thought that I knew every single thing in the whole Bible and all and everything. Sorry, I don't. There's way more I don't know. But anyways, John 7 and verse 37. I want to show you this now. Actually, that is not where I want to go. That's where I want to go second. We're going to find this. I'm going to look it up right now and find where the heck to go here. Where is it? Where is it, people? Where he says, welling up. We're going to get it. Go to John. How about John 4:14? Not John 7:14. Come on, I was just testing you. John 4, verse 14. So we're going to see it's two separate experiences here. Look at what it says here in verse... Actually, go back to verse 13 because it's in context. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, he said, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. Talking about the natural water at the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I'll give him, now notice this, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will be in him a well of water. Now notice it's important you see this. A well of water. Everybody say well of water. How many of you know a well of water is a physical landmark type thing, right? There's a well, a water well. You draw water out of it. He says that the water that I give him will never thirst, but it will be like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, what's everlasting life? Eternal life. Salvation, right? So what he's saying here is salvation, he uses an analogy. He says eternal life or salvation is likened to a well of water. Do you see that there? Will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So he says, I'm equating eternity or salvation or getting born again to a well of water. Now go with me to John chapter 7 and verse 37. So remember that now, that he says salvation, because we're talking about the difference between salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He just said salvation is like a well of water. In that last day, verse 37, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now remember, he just said the water that he gives you you'll make you never thirst, and it'll be like a well of water springing up into eternal life. So now he's talking again about giving them water. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, now notice this, out of his belly, that's where your spirit is, by the way, and the Holy Ghost, shall flow rivers of living water. Now let me ask you a question. Not to be facetious here. Is a well of water different than a river of water? They're completely different. They don't even look the same. They have water, but they're different. They're not the same. A river is not the same as a well. Amen? He said, he that believes on me, well, he must be talking about eternal life. He must just phrase it in a different way. So what people will say is, yes, he likened eternal life to a well of water, but he's also likening eternal life to a river of water. But he's not. Because the next verse tells us, but this, what? This river of water flowing out of people's belly spoke he of the Spirit, not everlasting life, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Here's number two place in the Bible that shows us that salvation, he said, is like a well of water leading to everlasting life, but the river of water flowing from people's bellies, this he spoke of the Spirit. Two different distinctions. Praise God. Well, you ready to go forward? Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. It threw me off when I threw that one in front of John chapter 4. And I went to John chapter 14 and it was like, Houston, we have a problem. I don't know my Bible. Acts chapter 8. Now remember, we're looking at a separate experience. Now again, for those who already know this, Yeah, but do you really know it well enough? Because for those of you that know it, you know what we're leading to in this series. We're leading to you being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. If you're not praying in tongues on a consistent basis, then you don't have this yet. And you need to be stirred up more. Amen? And you say, well, I am praying in tongues on a consistent basis. Don't you think there's more you could be doing? Absolutely. Praise God. It's to stir you up. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Now, here we go. But when they... Now, if you're wondering who they are, it'll tell us down in the verses down lower here. But it doesn't matter the context right now. It's just telling you people that were not saved and are now saved. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So here we have Philip preaching the word. And look what it says. The audience believed what he was preaching. What was he preaching? The things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. So guess what these people, well, guess what happened to these people in chapter 8, verse 12? They got saved. When you believe the preacher of the things concerning the kingdom of God and Jesus, when you believe that, you're saved, praise God. So they get born again here. Now look at this though. Drop down to verse 14. Now, when the apostles, now it's important, who are the apostles? The born again Christians who already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost back in Acts chapter 2. Now they're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and guess what? They hear in verse 14, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria, so those people that heard it were Samaritans and received Jesus in verse 12, when the apostles that were in Jerusalem got word of it, that Samaria had received the word of God. What's that mean when you receive the word of God? Well, what was the word of God they received? Verse 12 told us. The things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. They were baptized. They were born again. It says the apostles now heard it. They got wind. Hey, those people in Samaria got saved. We got new brothers and sisters in Christ. Praise God. And you know what they thought? Hey, when we got saved, Jesus commanded us something. Well, now we're his mouthpiece on the earth. We're his hands and feet. We need to go out and tell people the same thing he told us. Well, when they received the word of God, guess what they did? They said, Peter and John? Who are Peter and John? Only two of the 120 that were in the upper room when they first received it. They said, get down to those new believers. Well, why would they need to go to the new believers? I thought we get all the Holy Ghost we're ever going to need when we get born again. Apparently, Jesus didn't think so with them. And apparently, all the people that got saved in Samaria who were not apostles, who were not disciples, you know what they were? Just regular folk like us. And when Peter and John said, oh, there's new believers, or when the disciples at Jerusalem, they said, send two of the heavy hitters down to them. Why would they send Peter and John down to them? Verse 15. It says, now, go back to verse 14, please. When apostles heard at Jerusalem that he heard that Samaria received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down to where Samaria, the new believers, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. But they're already saved. What Holy Ghost do they need to receive? The same Holy Ghost that Jesus told the other saved people they need to receive. That they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 16. For as yet, or up till now, now what's happened up till now? They've gotten born again. We know that. It tells us. But for yet he had fallen, just like he fell on them in the upper room. Remember? Cloven tongues of fire above them fell on them, filled with the Holy Ghost. For they were had fallen on none of them. Only, the only thing that's happened up to this point is they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What are they saying? They're born again. You can't get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus if you're not saved. Do you see it there? New believers, send two of the heaviest hitters ever in the body of Christ down to them. Why? They need what we got. Do you think if the Samaritans needed it, do you think the Alleghenians and the South Daytonans and the Bradfordans and the Cherry Creekans and the Fredonians and the Jamestowns and the Lakewoods think we need to receive it too? Absolutely. It's so important, so vital. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there's the second place. And then verse 17 tells us, then they laid their hands on them and received the Holy Ghost. Who? Already people that were already saved. And I'm here to ask you, have you had your separate experience yet? If you haven't, there's something waiting for you that Jesus commanded you to get. Go to Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Where's this been my whole life, Pastor Mike? I know, join the club. I thought the same thing. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Now, this is Saul, who was converted to the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the Bible we're preaching out of, or two-thirds of the New Testament, I should say, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, what way? The way of Jesus. Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Saul was a nasty man. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Now look at this. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. See that there? And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall told be what you must do there. Now, take out the Pentecostals, take out the what they call the charismatics, and bring in the Baptists, bring in the Catholics, bring in the Methodists, bring in the Presbyterians, bring in the whatever denomination you want to put in here that does not believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, and every single one of them, every biblical scholar I've ever read, whether they believe in speaking in tongues or not, agrees on one thing, that this was when Saul got born again. That the road to Damascus is when he had his conversion with Jesus. How do we know? He went from persecuting the church that was Jesus's to Lord, calling him Lord, number one, and saying, what do you want me to do? He gave his life to Jesus on the road to Damascus here. Okay? They all agree on that. Doesn't matter what denomination, what background you're from, they won't fight you on this is when Saul had his conversion on the road to Damascus. Okay. So we have that established. So the Lord says to him, go into the city and I will tell you what you need to do there. Now look at verse 7. It says, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight. The light just blinded him, you know. He neither did eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him and to Ananias said the Lord in a vision. Now, this is what you have to understand. Ananias gets a vision from the Lord, and in the vision, the Lord says, Ananias, and Ananias says, Behold, I'm here, Lord, verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Ananias, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. So Ananias gets a vision, says, go to the street called Straight, go into this house, there's going to be a man there praying. His name's Saul of Tarsus. You get it there? Go to verse 12. And he has seen Paul, or Saul has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in. So he's saying, he's going to be expecting you because I gave him a vision that you're coming to him. And putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So he said, I already gave Saul a vision that a man by the name of Ananias is going to come in, lay his hands on him, he's going to get his sight back. So you know Saul's waiting for this guy named Ananias to come. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Basically, Ananias is saying, do I have to go see him? I'm a Christian, and I know what this guy does to Christians. He's saying, no, I don't want to do that. But the Lord said unto him, go your way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now notice this. And now, remember, he's praying here. God's given him visions because Saul is now converted. He's born again, and in this house blinded, he's praying as a born-again Christian, right? Remember, all the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the whatever you want to put denomination in there, and I use the ones that I know specifically that taught me against it. I'm coming down on them at all. They're wonderful people. Heaven-bound people. We have to make sure that we're not trying to put ourselves on a pedestal to say that we are better than some other group of Christians. No, 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 no. But what I will say is the ones that don't receive this, they lack power. because Jesus said they would. I don't want to lack power, and I don't want you to lack power. So Saul's born again already. We already know that. We saw him get converted. He's praying. Ananias is told to go there. So Ananias went his way, entered into the house, put his hands on him. Now this is how you know he's saved. You know what he says to him? Brother Saul. Wait a minute. Ananias, you don't want to go see him. He's your own brother. We're not talking about flesh and blood brother. They weren't brothers that way. They were brothers in the Lord, spiritually, right? Just like you and me are brothers and sisters in Christ. Not natural. We don't have the same parents, but you and me are brothers and sisters in the greatest family there ever was. Praise God. And he says to him, Brother Saul, I love that the Bible leaves no questions. What's he saying? Hey, Christian, is what he's saying. Born again, man, you, he says. Brother Saul, even the Lord Jesus that appeared unto you in your way as you came has sent me that you might receive your sight. Now, they must think that that's where the Bible ends in a lot of places, in that verse. But that verse doesn't end there. He said he's come to give you your sight. Now, see, we didn't hear, or it didn't get written to us, that Ananias was supposed to do something else. But just because it doesn't say it doesn't mean he wasn't given further instructions by the Holy Ghost. Amen? You can see something happen in an accident or recount something and give details. Doesn't mean you're going to give every single detail of what you saw or what you heard. Amen? Hey, even though it did happen. Well, we know this. He said, the Lord has sent me. So we know that the Lord also commissioned him not only lay your hands on him to get his sight, but also has sent me the receiver's sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. But wait a minute. He already got the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 on the road to Damascus. No, he didn't. Because no Christians with being saved does not come the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is a separate experience. That's the third place, or the fourth place, I should say. Now, it's kind of teachy, kind of feels a little lawyerish, going through the facts, presenting the evidence. You know, if I was a lawyer, what I'd do, I'd present all the evidence. We could stop right there and say, it's separate. But you know what I've heard in lawyer talk? You ever heard the term, the smoking gun? Everything you've heard up to this point shows us, it's clear, it's two separate experiences. But now, I'm going to show you the smoking gun on the fact that it's two separate experiences. Are you ready? Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. Praise God. What this will do for those of you that have not received it is realize, okay, there's something more I need. And it's not optional because Jesus commanded me to get this. And the first thing the disciples did when they heard about it was get someone down there to get the same thing we got. The first thing that happened after Ananias got his sight is, now we need to also get Ananias this too. Ananias need to get that to Saul too. God wants to get something to you. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. Here we go. The smoking gun, right? You remember Johnny Cochran. What did he say about something fit? You must have quit. That was a smoking gun for him, right? I mean, that's what he said. Couldn't get that glove on OJ's hand. That was a smoking gun in that trial. Even though we know some things, at least I do. Sorry. Let's just keep this to ourselves. Oh, man, some of the things I look into that thing. Do you know they were giving OJ medicine to bloat him up before he tried that glove on? Watch the documentary. It's crazy. And Johnny Cochran knew. He said, listen, if it doesn't fit, you must have quit. And it didn't fit. Smoking gun. What happened? He got acquitted. So we're going to find smoking gun right here. Hallelujah. Praise God. What is wrong with my brain? I don't know. Just be thankful you have me as your pastor. I keep you on your head, your seats. Praise God. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, a different place now, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, who's Paul now? Born again from Saul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. Well, this is post Jesus dying on the cross. People are being born again now. He finds certain disciples. What can we infer that these disciples are? Now, we find out later they weren't, but what can we infer? That they're born again, followers of Jesus. So he finds certain disciples, and look at what Paul says when he finds new believers at Ephesus. So now we have the disciples, the 120, and actually Jesus appeared to 500 people, wouldn't have told just 120, would have told the whole 500, don't leave Jerusalem until you get this. But 120 showed up for the party, one-fourth, by the way. Say, what's one-fourth of 500? Right about 120. Amen. What does the Bible say about people that do and listen to the word and obey the word? One-fourth of them will do it, praise God. And they did. And then we see the Samaritans. We got to get them this right away. What did we see about Saul when he got converted? Got to get him the Holy Ghost too. Well, Paul, when he finds certain disciples, you know what the first thing he thinks is? Hey, I heard about how Jesus commanded the disciples. I heard about how when Samaria got it and people rushed to me to get this and I know the benefits of this. We got to get these disciples filled with the Holy Ghost too. Look what he says to them. He said to them, have you received... This is, by the way, the verse that's the, if it doesn't fit, you must have quit right here. This is it. This is the smoking gun. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Look at the next word. Since. You know what that word since means? After. Right? Since. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost after you believed? Now, Paul was under the impression they were believers. So his first question to them is, I know you're believers, but did you also receive the Holy Ghost after you believed? Why? Because you can't get it before. The only people that can get filled with the Holy Ghost are those that are born again. An experience that happens after salvation. He says, have you received it after you believed? He said, I know you got saved, but that ain't it. I know that's what we were taught growing up, that was it. And that's the way a lot of people live, that was it. And you know what? A lot of people live with a lot of power too. And it's just natural grind after grind. If your life's a grind, you're not living in the flow. I'm not saying you won't have tests and trials. I'm not saying that you won't have things come against you. But I'm telling you, God has given us a supernatural river of living water. You know what a river of living water does? It gives life to things. It's to flow from you and give life to the dead things. Amen. You take a river... a mighty flowing river away from an area of agriculture and stuff, and things start to dry up. Animals start to get sick. Crops start to go down the tubes. Why? The river brings life. If you're not in a flow of abundance, and a flow of blessing, and a flow of favor, and a flow of light and easy, Jesus said, my burden, my yoke is light and it's easy. Didn't he say that? If life is hard and it's a grind, you're not in the flow that was intended for you. And instead of sitting there thinking, that sounds great for other people, this ought to stir you because this is what this is going to do. It's going to give life to the dead things. Amen. Praise God. Now see, that utterance right there is for everybody here, but that utterance right there is especially for the people that are already filled with the Holy Ghost and you're doing nothing with it. You're doing nothing with it. And why is things hard? Why am I frustrated all the time? Why do I get so grumpy? Why am I so touchy? Why is my faith low? Why is this? No life to things. That's not the flow of light and easy, people. And a lot of people, that's the grind they live in. Life's hard. Life's a grind. Life's tests and trials, but we're to be victorious. It's the truth. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tests and trials. Don't think that the appearance or the facing of tests and trials doesn't make you strange, doesn't make you wrong, doesn't make you... But when you're going through tests and trials, not light and easy, not with a step of victory, not with a shout of joy, not with an expectation of hope and turning, that's not the flow that he wants you to go through. Because Jesus said, but be of good cheer in those tests and trials. I have overcome them. So he's saying in your tests and trials, if you're not cheerful, you're not in the flow of God. And I'm telling you that if you'll put this to play in your life, first get filled with the power, then activate and keep that power going, the rivers of living water will flow to all these areas of your life. That's just the truth. Praise God. So he says, have you received it since you believed? And look what they said unto him. And this is the way the most of the body of Christ is. We've not so much as heard whether there even be a Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, how many of the churches you grew up in? And I know for my wife, I know for many of your testimonies that you've already told me, the Holy Ghost was non-existent in the churches you grew up in. the churches that you frequented, they don't talk anything about them. Nobody knows a thing about the Holy Ghost. Jesus and God are magnified, and they should be, but the Holy Ghost is hush, 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 right? Yeah. Praise God, it's true. And they said, Paul said, you believe. Did you receive the Holy Ghost after you believed? He said, we don't even know there's a Holy Ghost. And then he said unto them, well, what were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, so John's baptism was different than Jesus' baptism. John did have a baptism of repentance, but he didn't have a baptism of eternal life. It was different. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. What's he saying? You can't stop at John. They were believers, but you know what? They were disciples of John. Just like the disciples that got baptized before Jesus died on the cross, they still had to get saved. Now Paul's finding out, oh my gosh, they are believers, they're followers, but they're not born again. They need to be born again. Why? Unless a man be born again. And so he says, when they heard this, when Paul said, hey, there's something else for you, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Guess what happened in verse 5? These disciples now were saved. But look at the word in verse 6, the first word. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Who's the them? Well, by the time this verse comes, they're already saved because they got saved in verse 5. And he said, now that's not it. Now you're saved. Because remember the first question he asked people he thought were believers of Jesus was, did you receive the Holy Ghost? We're not saved. Okay, well, let's get you saved first, verse 5. Verse 6, then he says, okay, now it's time for the separate experience that I received, that the 120 received, that the Samaritans received, and now you're going to get. Praise God. Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Well, we're going to stop right there. But I'm going to review something here and tell you what we're going into. So don't shut me down yet. Don't close up and just hold on for a second here. This showed you tonight, as a believer, the believers in Ephesus, the believers in Samaria, not apostles, not founding fathers of the Bible, not authors of the Bible. We're talking about just regular old believers like you and me. We see in the Word that every time they encountered a new believer, the thing they wanted to do was get them the separate experience. The first thing, now think about this. The very last thing that Jesus told the believers before he exited stage left, Elvis left the building in Acts chapter 1. His name was Jesus and he was gone and we haven't seen him again. Right? Unless he's appeared to you. And we won't until he comes back on the cloud. Praise the Lord. What's the last thing he says to them and commands them? You got to get the separate experience. You know what he's trying to shake you and say to you? For those of you that have never received it, you need this. Your life will change. And you know what he's saying to those of you that have received it and aren't doing anything with it? I didn't give you this to do nothing with it. Amen. So what are we doing in this series? We're stirring it back up. We're getting fired up, praise God, filled with things. Supernatural power going forth. Why? There's an enemy. And he wants to keep us down. But imagine, what would your family look like? As parents, guardians, with if you're just a single parent, if you're not a single parent, husband and wife, what would your family look like in agreement with power? I'm not talking about natural power. I'm talking about supernatural power. What would that do for your kids? What would that do for your finances? What would that do for your bodies? What would that do for your situations? Oh, it would completely change them. That's what he said. I need you to get this so you can change the world. Now we see here, go back to verse 6 there. It said when in Acts chapter 19, verse 6, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now there's that word tongues. Now, next week, we're going to see what in the world does tongues have to do with this? What's tongues got to do with it? Right? That's what we're going to look at next week. That just popped in my head. We're going to find out next week. You always thought that it was what's love got to do with it. No, you heard it wrong. It's what's tongues got to do with it. And next week, Pastor Mike's going to tell you what tongues has to do with it. Yeah. And what does it say? But a secondhand emotion? No, it's a heavenly commotion. Praise God. That's what it is. I'll just tell you. The Holy Ghost is good. It is. It's a heavenly commotion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So next week we're going to see what tongues has to do with it. We're going to show you clearly what is tongues. What does the Bible say tongues is? Because it's not some crazy gibberish that some crazy group of Christians just blubber out of their mouths. No, the Bible defines what it is. And you're also going to see next week that you can't separate, again, stay with me, you can't separate the baptism of the Holy Ghost from tongues. Just like you say, I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Well, that tells me you had peanut butter and jelly. If you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost without tongues. You say, Pastor Mike, really, do I have to have that whole tongues business? Yes, you do. But you'll see it in the Bible over and over, just like tonight. I didn't just show you one place where I kind of might show it being separate. We went over and over and over. And next week I'm going to show you over and over and over in the Word. Listen, just because nobody ever showed you doesn't mean it's wrong. Just because, you know, you think about people that sat in the dark their whole life. Well, just because they sat in the dark their whole life, that's their reality. But we know there's far more out there just because that's what they experienced their whole life. Amen? Hallelujah, it's true. You might have sat in the dark your whole life spiritually in the Word of God. That doesn't mean that's the right way. There might be something to experience, something to discover. Praise God. So we'll look at that next week. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word tonight. Lord, we're blessed. You're trying to stir us up here, Lord. You're trying to get us going forward in the right direction. One heart, one mind, one accord. Father, they didn't do their own thing. They weren't separate. Some decided to, some didn't. Some said, that's for me. Some didn't. No, one heart, one mind, one accord. Praying together, going forward together, filled with the Holy Ghost together, speaking in tongues together. Why? Shaking the world, turning the world on its head. Father, we see them just massive salvations. We see signs, wonders, and miracles popping like popcorn for this church. And all these things happened after they obeyed you and received the power. So, Father, my prayer for every single person here is if they've not received this, they'll stick with us. They'll renew their mind to the Bible, pushing out all their comforts, traditions, and things, and opinions, and theories they've been taught before, and they'll receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save their lives. And, Father, those of us that have received this, and this is old news, this wasn't anything new you learned tonight, Father, I pray that it would stir them up to realize you didn't just give it for it to sit there dormant. You gave it for a purpose. So, Father, I thank you the fire is lit in the inside of us. Praise God. Fan those flames, Father. Fan them in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I know everybody in here is born again. But if by chance there's somebody listening right now or in the future via the archive, I pray that you would not pass from this life till you make Jesus your Lord. And the way that you receive Jesus is by believing on him. We showed you that in the message. If you never believed on Jesus, you got to believe on him. How? By confessing him, asking him into your heart. For those of you listening that you've never received Jesus, you never formally invited him, just simply cry out to him. Romans 10 and verse 9 is the 9 and 10 are the verses you want to look at. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. All that looks like is this. Lord, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. If you'll pray that, he'll do his end of the bargain. Shoot us an email, give me a phone call, and let me know you got saved, and we'll give you some information to help you out going forward in your new journey with him. Praise God. Let's just worship him where we're at. You can stay seated. We're going to take up communion, but let's just begin to praise him. Father, we thank you so much. Brandy, you can go ahead and put that song on. We're going to go ahead and receive communion. Of course, this is a time to worship him and just think about him and praise him for what he's done. Hallelujah. Done for us for granted. Be unmerited. gospel today. Praise you, Lord. Chapter 11 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul, the one that we talked about tonight, he wrote this. He said, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's go ahead and take the bread and break it and let's eat it. Lord, we're so thankful for the bread that represents your body that was broken for us. And Father, I know we do this once a month and it can become so repetitive in nature, but Lord, we never want it to become repetitive or mundane. We're so grateful for what the bread represents, that your body went through absolute horrible conditions. By the stripes on your body that broke your body, we can be healed. So thank you, Jesus, for the body that was broken for us. We're so grateful. And the Bible says, "After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Let's drink. Now, Lord, we know that the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us for the remission of our sins, to make us white as snow. Completely took away all of our blemishes. We're so grateful that you were willing to lay your life down for ours. We give you the praise. We give you the glory for it. Now, Father, as we go to fellowship tonight, I ask that you bless everybody that made stuff, bought stuff, brought stuff, whatever. Father, that helps set up, will help clean up, Father. Bless those people, Father, for you're not unrighteous to reward those. You see their labor of love. And so, Father, I thank you. You'll reward them. And, Lord, we call the food that we're about to eat blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, no Tuesday service. You can pass your cups towards the center. The ushers will pick them up. You are dismissed.